Amen. How are we doing this morning, family? Did we come in a spirit of thanksgiving this morning? I did. I came this morning in a spirit of thanksgiving as we thank those who have led us in worship. While you're standing, there is a word from the Lord found in the Old Testament historical book of 2 Kings. The Old Testament historical book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4. Chapter number 4, verses 38 through 41. And I'll read in your hearing this morning just one verse, 2 Kings, chapter number 4, verse 40b. The second part of verse 40. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, and when you have it, I would ask that you would say, if you're not too stingy, say amen. Amen. Sometimes, Larry, we get stingy with our amens, you know what I mean? 2 Kings chapter number 4, beginning with verse 40, 40b in particular. Here's how my Bible reads. And as they were eating of the stew, they cried out and said, O man of God, there is death in the pot. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And as they were eating of the stew, they cried out and said, O man of God, there is death in the pot. Family, I'd just like to speak briefly this morning. Hey, Teresa, how you doing? Good to see you. I'd like to speak briefly this morning from this subject, the danger in desiring to sweeten the pot. The danger in desiring to sweeten the pot. Thank you, production team. I do approve of that. I like that. It almost makes me want to preach right now. Family, if you will, I will read the entirety of this passage as we get started. Verses 38 through 41. When Elisha returned to Gilgal, there was a famine in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. He said to his servant, put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. Then one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it his lapful of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, for they did not know what they were. So they poured it out for them, for the men to eat. And as they were eating of the stew, they cried out and said, O man of God, there is death in the pot. And they were unable to eat. But he said, he being Elisha, now bring meal. He threw it in the pot and said, pour it out for the people that they may eat. Then there was no harm in the pot. Interesting story. Family, the fact that the record of Scripture attests right there in verse 38 that this account takes place when the people of God are enduring a famine in the land is indicative of the spiritual famine we are currently enduring in our land. I'll let that marinate for a minute, just for a moment. Has anybody watched the news lately? Can we see what is occurring and transpiring all across the world and right here on our soil? It's an interesting thing. The fact that the record of Scripture attests that this account takes place when the people of God are enduring a famine in the land is indicative of the spiritual famine we are currently enduring in our land. Have I got a witness? Can I give you an example of the wild gourds being slipped into the spiritual bread of the flock of God. Can I give you an example? We've all seen it before. Poison being poured out from the pulpit. A pulpit near you for the people of God to eat. We've all seen it. Let me give you an example. Pastors protesting the overturning of Roe v. Wade, advocating for abortion as women's health care while officiating a baby dedication in the same worship service. Couldn't make it up. Pastors performing same-sex marriages in the house of God. Pastors blasting vulgar and profane worldly rap music during the worship service and then leading the church from the pulpit in the latest crazy dance, Wayne. Pronouncing curses, that is, pastors pronouncing curses upon the people of God who refuse to give under compulsion to the pastor's demand that so many people sow a certain amount of seed for a specified amount of money. This passage, North Oaks, is symbolic of what happens when we bring poisonous ideologies, relative thinking, and human wisdom of the world into the church. And we mix it with the pure, unadulterated word of God. The truth of God's word is no longer the truth, but rather it has become contaminated. To the point where it has become a counterfeit word with no power to save, Dave. But it now has the potency to destroy. Well, Pastor, you've given us the text-derived revelation of just how real, how dangerous the temptations to sweeten the pot are. You know, sometimes we think that, you know, God's word has gotten boring, it's out of touch, it's not relevant. I need to add something to it so it'll be more palatable to the people. I need to entertain them, Wayne, because I looked out and I saw so many empty seats, and I recognized if I just bring this in and sweeten the pot a little bit, we can pack this place out. Y'all ain't going to help me preach today. I tell you what, we're just getting started, Fred. We're just getting started. How dangerous the temptation to sweeten the pot can be, but you haven't exactly explained to us how we can ensure that we don't unwittingly, naively consume the poisonous stew that our adversary has to offer. How do we keep those from sneaking dangerous doctrine into the pot to pervert the truth of God's word in our hearts? Now, that's a $1 million question. How do we ensure that we are being spiritually nourished, Chris, and satisfied, as opposed to weakened, sickened, harmed, and killed? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's right there in the text. And if you truly desire, North Oaks family, if you truly desire to avoid being fed the dangerous doctrine this world has to offer, point number one, make sure that, are you interested? Point number one, make sure that you're sitting under godly leadership. Make sure that you are sitting under godly leadership. And what this speaks to, Kathy, this speaks to the fact that we ought to know who's ordering the pot. Well, it's right there in verse 38. Look at it, if you will. When Elisha returned to Gilgal, there was a famine in the land. As the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, there it is, y'all, he said to his servant, put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. Now, this is interesting, Daniel Reyes, because they had just witnessed Elisha's embarkation upon the path to promise come full circle. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, come along with me for a minute, family. Let us retrace the prophet's steps, shall we? Let me have that map. Where's my map? If you confer with 2 Kings chapter number 2, Elijah and Elisha began in chapter number 2, verse 1, in Gilgal. They began in Gilgal, which is right here, in the Transjordan region. This is where they started. And from Gilgal, chapter number 2, verse 2 says they moved to Bethel. So they left Gilgal and came over here to Bethel on the other side of the Jordan. Chapter number 2, verse 4 will have us know that they then moved to Jericho. Chapter number 2, verse 7 says they moved from Jericho to the Jordan. Chapter number 2, verse 8 says they moved from the Jordan to the Transjordan. Chapter number 2, verse 13, here we go, we're about to come back. Chapter number 2, verse 13 says they went back from the Transjordan, they went back to the Jordan. Chapter number 2, verse 18 says, and then Elisha, after coming back to the Jordan by himself, Elisha went back to Jericho. Chapter number 2, verse 23 says that Elisha left Jericho and went back to Bethel. And chapter number 4, verse 38, our text today says, finally, Elisha is back in Gilgal. Family, as far as walking in his purpose goes, Gilgal is where it all began for Elisha. And isn't it interesting that Gilgal now poses one of Elisha's most intriguing challenges? What do you mean? The people were under a famine, which means there was nothing to eat in the land. And Elisha is there with the sons of the prophet sitting on his feet, training them that they can go out into the world and tell the people, hello, you don't have anything to eat because God has promised to punish if you get over there and start serving other gods. You have to make the correlation that the fact that there is a famine is directly tied to your disobedience, idolatry, and apostasy. Turn back to God that he might stay his hand and remove the famine. That is what Elisha was tasked with. But guess what? Even the sons of the prophets were hungry. Even the sons of the prophets were hungry. And Elisha has no doubt a challenge before him. It's an amazing thing. Family, I'm here to encourage somebody. Take up your mantle. Get moving in the power of purpose. Attack the challenges set before you in the power of Christ that is within you. Attack the challenges set before you within the power of Christ that is within you. There is a danger in desiring to sweeten the pot. They witnessed Elisha take up his mantle. Yeah, they did. They had seen the Lord validate Elisha's words and rebuffing their request to search for Elijah's body, quickly transforming their skepticism into conviction. They witnessed the Lord confirm Elijah's call and healing the waters of Jericho and strengthening the faith of the already submissive men of Jericho. The sons of the prophets, they've seen the Lord defend his choice of Elijah as prophet to the nations through the cursing and subsequent destruction of 42 young men who scoffed and scorned at the Lord's chosen servant to Israel. The bottom line is the sons of the prophets, they knew without question that Elijah was not only their anointed leader, but that the word of the Lord was with Elijah. Family, if we are going to truly desire to avoid being fed the dangerous doctrine this world has to offer, we need to ensure that we are sitting under godly leadership. This speaks to the fact that we ought to know who's ordering the pot. But then secondly, if we're going to avoid this dangerous doctrine, I don't want to be fed this, Pastor. We need to make sure that you've got discerning leaders guarding the pot. You need to make sure that you have discerning leaders guarding the pot. And what this speaks to the fact that we ought to know what's going in the pot. What's going into the pot? It's right there in verse 39. Then one went out. We don't know if this was one of Elijah's servants or one of the sons of the prophets. I like to think it was one of Elisha's servants. Then one went out into the field. Notice that he leaves the presence of God with the man of God, and he goes out in the field. That's indicative of the world, you guys. Then one goes out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it his lapful of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, for they did not know what they were. Let me break that down for you. The gatherer in our text appears, Chris, he appears to have had good intentions. Because verse 39a, it says, went out in the field with the intentions of doing what? To gather herbs. He wanted to sweeten the pot, if you will. But the crazy thing is this. That's more than we can say about much of the gathering going on today. There's a lot of teaching, a lot of pot contamination going on today, where the people of God are being intentionally poisoned from the pulpit. Not this pulpit. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Chapter number 6, verses 3 through 5. I like the way Paul puts it to his protege. He says, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language. Yeah, pastors are cursing from the pulpit these days. Abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means to gain. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And the tragic part about it, North Oaks, the tragic part about it, Fred, is this. God's people have become addicted to the poison. God's people have become addicted to the... Have y'all seen how many folk are at these crazy churches? Now, remember, they're in the midst of a famine. They're in the midst of a famine, CW, so a few things stand out here. Number one, the Bible says that he found a wild vine. Wild as it pertains to the illegitimate nature of the fruit source. If you confer with John 15 and 1, Christ is the true vine. Satan or Antichrist is the wild or the counterfeit vine. The Bible says he gathered a lapful, all he could probably take, no doubt, a lapful of wild gourds. A gourd is like a cucumber. Wild as it pertains to the uncultivated nature of the gourds. In other words, this was not planted vegetation. They didn't go out and cultivate this. Nobody planted this. They were not planted in a specific place with an expectation of flourishing for an anticipated yield, purpose for nourishing the people of God. No, this wasn't cultivated. This was wild. These were wild gourds. Oh, I like the way the psalmist puts it in Psalm 92. Right about verses 12 through 14. Listen to the word of God. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. Why? Somebody say, because he's been planted. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord, not out in some crazy field. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will stand yield fruit. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. Oh, Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse 7 and 8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by the stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. The Bible says the righteous man will yield fruit even in a famine. If that's not good for you, somebody said, I need the New Testament. Colossians chapter number 2, verse 6 through 8 reads, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and is now being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather according to Christ. It's an amazing thing. The Bible says that they found a wild vine. The Bible says that he gathered up a lap full of wild gourds. But then, Chris, the Bible says, for they did not know. For they did not know. Take a look at your Bibles. For they did not know what they were. That little phrase, what they were, is not in the original manuscript. And it's indicated by the italicized font. It was added so that we would be able to read the text and it would make sense to complete the train of thought. I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't put it there. I would just take it for what it is. The Bible says in verse 3, for they did not know. They didn't know that he had sliced or what he had sliced in the pot. In other words, he went outside of the presence of God. He went out into the field, in the world, saw some stuff growing, shouldn't have been growing because there was a famine. An illegitimate vine looks on the illegitimate vine, the source of some illegitimate fruit, fruit that was not planted with the expectation of nourishing the children, grabs the lapwood, comes back up, chops it up, and put it in the pot. Bible said they didn't know. They didn't know. Wayne, I don't believe they knew that that rascal was putting that stuff in that pot. Family, access to the pot must be guarded. Access to the pot must be guarded and guarded by capable men. Oh, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad I thank God that he has seen fit to post some pot guarders in our midst. Yeah, he has. He's posted pot guarders in our midst. Our elders, hello. Our deacons, hello. They are here making sure that who stands in this pulpit hasn't decided I'm going to sweeten the pot. I'm going to add some worldly stuff to the truth of the word of God and poison the people. That's a good place to clap. We ought to thank God that we have pot guarders in our midst. There's some churches out there that don't much have no pot guarders. And the attendance is exploding every week. They're having to bring in new chairs, Bill, because the attendance is out of control. They can't even contain these folk that are showing up to eat. I thank God for the pot guarders here to protect this flock from the likes of wild gourd gatherers today. Family, if we're going to ensure that we avoid the poison, number one, we need to make sure we're sitting under godly leadership. Speaks to the fact that we ought to know who is ordering the pot. To make sure we've got discerning leaders guarding the pot speaks to the fact that we ought to know what goes into the pot. But then thirdly, get this, your palate, ensure that your palate is trained to detect poison. Now, I'm just going to tell you right now. Y'all know whose job that is? To make sure your palate is trained that you can detect poison? That's my job. In other words, Cynthia, if I'm out 1 week and I come back and everybody is bent over, vomited and sick, I'm not doing my job. Let's look at what the text says. This speaks to the fact that we ought to be able to detect a contaminated pot. The Bible says, and they were unable to eat. Oh my goodness, where's Fred? Fred, do you know we might gloss over that? Well, the Bible says they were unable to eat. You know what that means? That means when they felt their lips starting and tongue starting to go numb, they knew they were in trouble. They knew they were in trouble. They didn't eat at all. They stopped because they recognized it. Well, this stuff ain't right. I find that fascinating. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because I've already said it, the tragedy is that we've become addicted to the poisonous doctrine of the world. Nowadays, it seems that's all we desire to eat. But somebody's thinking, Pastor, haven't we been warned that this was coming? Haven't we been warned to just say no? I'm glad you're at 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 2 through 4. Listen to the word of God. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears. Chris, we were just talking about this last week. Will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Will turn aside to myths. Family, I've said it before and I'll repeat it. We are not natural beings having a spiritual experience. But rather, get this, we are spiritual beings having a natural experience for a little while. Just for a little while. The goal of this life is not to live forever, but rather to be ready to live forever. Amen. And there's no better way to live forever than to desire the pure, unadulterated, undefiled, uncontaminated word of God right now. And I'm here to tell somebody, not in this church, but in other churches, get off the dope of demonic doctrine. That stuff is killing you. We got other people listening to the message. I'm talking to them, not to this group. And just in case someone does try to sweeten the pot. Now, listen to me. Let me just say this. If I'm out of here on Sunday morning, for whatever reason, if I'm on vacation, pastor need to get away sometimes. If I'm out of here and somebody come up here and say some crazy stuff, blow my phone up. I don't care where I am. If I'm on the ship, I want to know. Pastor, we're going to blow your phone up anyway. We know you're gone. We're going to blow it up. Blow my phone up. Because I love my flock. And boy, if I find out somebody been here giving some poison out, I ain't going to be happy. I want to know about it. I want to know about it. But just in case someone does try to sweeten the pot, just in case they manage to slip some wild gourds into the pot, fourthly and finally, make certain that you fulfill your responsibility. Make sure you fulfill your responsibility. It's right there in verse 41. But he said, now bring meal. He threw it in the pot and said, pour it out for the people that they may eat. Then there was no harm in the pot. What this speaks to, family, this speaks to the fact that we ought to know who can cleanse the pot. We ought to know who can cleanse the pot. Bible says they cried out to the man of God. Oh, man of God, it's death in this pot. They didn't get their phones in. What do you see? Instagram Live or YouTube Live? What do they call this stuff? Where they go live and tell the whole world, it's death in this pot. Look at me. I'm dying. That's what they do in the world today. Bible says they looked at the man of God. They knew who could cleanse the pot. The record is that Elisha instructs his servants, now bring meal. The biblical metaphoric language of John 6 presents Jesus and Jesus alone as worthy for us to feast on through the reception of the word of God. Oh, Fred, thank you for blessing me. Jeremiah put it this way. Your words were found and I ate them. Fred, I had to steal that when you said it. I grabbed my laptop. I said, let me stick that in my sermon. Your words were found and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. The implication is, family, that they were obedient to the word of God through the man of God. Bring meal. The Bible says Elisha put the meal in the pot, threw it in the pot. The picture here is a picture of divine sovereignty and human responsibility. God's willingness to include man in bringing about a supernatural shift in a natural situation, espoused by the likes of Aurelius Augustus, better known as St. Augustine, and further developed by John Calvin, divine sovereignty is a doctrine that emphasizes God's ultimate control over all things, reflected by the word of God spoken by the prophet, now bring meal. Conversely, this is our part. Human responsibility highlights man's role in effecting God's hand to move. Pictured in his servant's obedience of bringing the meal and Elisha throwing it in the pot. Here's the thing, family. Oftentimes, God has done his part, but he doesn't do the miraculous in our situation until we do our part. Until we do what God requires of us. Somebody said, Pastor, where's Foy? Is Foy in here today? I think that means being obedient. Yes, Foy, that's what it means. I can hear Foy talking to me. I don't even think he's in here. I believe Robert Lowry got it right when he penned that blessed hymn, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Family, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that we have received we got a warning this morning. We can't just go about eating everything because it looks good. Because it looks like it's growing where ain't nothing else growing. That thing might be a wild gourd growing on a wild vine, an illegitimate source, uncultivated fruit. Instead of being for the nourishment, it's for our destruction. Father God, help us that we can discern when somebody's been trying to sweeten the pot and slip some of that foolishness of the world, the wisdom of men, into the word of God. Help us that we can stop eating immediately and cry out to the man of God, Pastor, it's death in that pulpit. Where would we be if you had left it up to us, Lord, to figure it all out? We thank you for being consistent and loving and giving us your word that we might be healthy, that we might be spiritually nourished and not malnourished, that we can do the good works that you've prepared beforehand that we are walking. And Father, help us right now. We need you like never been. There's a famine in the land. Your people are hungry. Help us, Father. We need you like never before. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you've joined us today, let me say, as a pastor of this great congregation, this beautiful flock of God, it is not lost on us that you're here. You could have been anywhere. We give God the glory that you chose to worship with us and get this warning from the Lord. I would ask that if you're in the Houston area that you would come through, come by the church and worship with us live. Matter of fact, come and shake my hand. I would like to personally thank you and welcome you into the life of this church. I love pastoring North Oaks Baptist Church because here at North Oaks, we are shining the light and glorifying the Father. Amen. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Let the church say, Amen.